Okay, we're beginning here, five lines from the bottom of Chof Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the issue of Shniot Le'arayot, which ones are included, which are not included over here. So now we have a Meimar Achshar. He said that this was fine. Be'eshet, Achi, Avi, Aviv. Ube'achot, Avi, Aviv. So here we're already at the level of a grandfather. So we're talking about either the grandfather's sister, or the grandfather's brother's wife, which both of them are your great-aunts through your paternal side, your great-aunts through your paternal side. A Meimar says those are fine and that there is no issue of Shniot L'Arayot. So Amar Rav Hillel L'Rav Ashi, L'Didi Chazili Shniot Mar B'Rei D'Ravano. I saw the list of Shniot L'Arayot according to Mar B'Rei D'Ravano. Uchtivan Shitzare L'Isura. And I saw that there were 16 Shniot Arayot that were Asurim. My love, then what is the enumeration? Where do you get to 16? Tamnae de Matnita. The first 8 are the ones that we already brought, what we know already, the ones that we did in yesterday's daf. Vishit de Be Rabbi Chia. 6 that Rabbi Chia adds on. We mentioned yesterday that was what was left out. Rabbi Chia. And that we'll get to in today's daf. What are the 6 that Rabbi Chia adds on? Vahanachtarte. And the additional 2, meaning that you have the 8 original, 6 of Rabbi Chia is 14, plus the 2 that a Meimar was just Machshir. You put those together, you get 16. Hashitzrei, so he says, V'letameich, Shifsari have it. According to your reasoning, they're really 17. Da Ika, because at the end of yesterday's daf, we already decided that Eshet, Achi Ha'em Min Ha'em, Depashtinan Li'isura. Over there we concluded it was Asur. We knew for certain that when it came to the Eshet Achia Av Min Ha'em, that it was Asur Mishniot. We also knew that Eshet Achia Im Min Ha'av was Asur. And yesterday we queried about Eshet Achia Im Min Ha'em. So these are all aunts. Question is how they are or your aunt. Right? You can have an aunt that is your father's sister. You can have an aunt that's your mother's sister. But you can also have aunts because they're married to your father's brother or they're married to your mother's brother. And so those are the scenarios that we're talking about. Aunts that are aunts through marriage. And then the question is, what's the relationship between the individual, your father or your mother, and the brother that is getting married or has this kiddushin with the woman? Yeah, is there a relationship through the mother or through the father? So we discussed yesterday and we concluded that even in a scenario which is the most far removed, in a scenario where one's mother's brother, but they're only brother and sister through their mother, still there, that brother's wife would still be restricted, mishniot arayot. If you do that, then you end up with 17 shniot arayot. So what are you telling me about 16? He says, halo kasho, that's not a problem. Hanach tarte de damyin hododi kechad choshivlo. These two that are like one, we consider them as if they are one. I mean that we count, instead of counting each one individually, I mean, Eshet Achi, Avi Alav, Vachot Avi Av, your great aunt, whether that's your great aunt on your paternal side through marriage, or your great aunt by blood on your paternal side, both of those are Asurim, but since they're both your great aunts, we count them as one unit instead of two units, and then you get to 16. V'hashitzari, and there's your 16. V'ha mikom makom, l'didi chazin lan dichtivin li'isura. It says in the end, I saw they were written down and it was Asur. So why is a Meimar going ahead and saying that these two are Mutarim? I can't get to the 16 count if you say these two Shniot Arayot are Mutarim. Amalei, v'lim etameich. So Rashi says back to him, okay, listen. Ihav ektiv l'hetera mihavad samacht alayhu. If it had written that 16 or these were the hetera, would you have relied on whatever this is that you saw? Demar b'rei v'ra'ana michotim alayhu. Did he sign this document? How do you know that this is from him? How do you know how authoritative is this piece of paper that you saw with this writing on it? Hashanami dichtav the isura lav mar b'rei d'rvano chatim alayu. Also here, just because it's the isur, he's not also signed on it. We don't know how more, just because it went to chumrah, doesn't mean that it's more authoritative. You think that it was written by him, or you got it from his Beit Midrash. You don't have his signature on it. It's not certain that this is authoritative enough to rely on, to paskin by that. And he said, just like you wouldn't have relied on it had it said something else. Why? Had it said mutar, you wouldn't have relied on it because you know it's wrong. And why wouldn't you have relied on it? It came from Mar Berevana, because he didn't sign it. So over here, just because it seems right, and he's not signed on it, shouldn't give it any more weight or power in paskening over here. Right, so now, Tani Debei Rabbi Chia. What are the six additional Shniyot Arayot that come from Rabbi Chia? Shlishi Shibibno, Ushibibito, Uvishibiben Ishto, Ushibibat Ishto, Shnia. Those are all Shniyot Arayot. Alright, so there you have four of them. And Revi'i Shibichamiv, Bishichamato. And the fourth generation up by his father-in-law and mother-in-law, those are all Shniyot Arayot. So there are the six additional ones. Let's just work on this. And the Gemara is going to ask this question in a second. One of them says three generations. One says four generations. They're actually both three generations. Just the one that says four generations counts his wife as one of the generations. And the Gemara will ask why. Why in one case did you count? In the other case, you didn't count that generation. So let's just talk about the first ones, which are Shlishi Shibibno. So in Shlishi Shibibno, we already know that Mina Torah, there's a problem with Bat Pita and Bat Mina. That means that his wife that he marries, and he has a stepdaughter or a stepson, that step-granddaughter is problematic and problematic minha Torah. Then in addition to that, you have his children, Bat Bino and Bat Bito, which are his children. Now that might be even children out of wedlock, which is what we discussed earlier in the Masechta. Why is it called his child and not his wife's child? Is because they were born out of wedlock. So those children also, the grandchild, the granddaughter, is also restricted. That's whether it's a granddaughter through the son or granddaughter through the daughter. Those are all restricted midoraita. There we have psukim for it. What Rabbi Chia adds on is shlishi, a third generation over there. So a shlishi shibino would be bat ben bino, the great granddaughter. It's a great granddaughter that's born from a son. You have a son, a grandson, and then a great granddaughter that is born. So that's bat ben bino. And shibibito. The one of Bito is Bat Ben Bito. That's the daughter of the son of his daughter. So that's Ben Bat Bito. So there, all of these are a third generation. Because why? Because Bat Bito is an Erva, and Bat Bino is an Erva. So he extended it one more generation and said even a great-granddaughter would also be problematic. Now, it's interesting because he only picks certain scenarios. Each time you drop down a generation, the permutations expand. And it's not just if you have Bat Bina and Bat Bita, which are only two in that scenario. When you drop down a generation, you actually have four possibilities. He only answers two of those possibilities, which is Bat Ben Bino and Bat Ben Bito. Those are the two that he answers. And he says because they're Dome to Bat Bito and Bat Bino. Rashi only enumerates Bat Ben Bino and Bat Ben Bito, which are Dome, Labat Bino, and Bat Bito. So those are the extra two on that side. And the same will be true, Be'ishto, meaning that if he marries a woman and he has step-grandchildren, these are step-great-grandchildren, this restriction will also apply over there, three generations down, which is Bat Ben Bino and Bat Ben Bita. So those will be restricted as well. Those are Shniyot, the Arayot. So that's four additional that Rabbi Chia adds on over here. And the way that David's trying to explain it might even be actually an additional eight that really are consolidated to four because you have duplications over here. Because they're Damin al-Hadadi, he counts them as one. Even though Rashi only enumerates two of them, but maybe you could combine them. Then he has on the other side going upwards, which is on his Chamiv v'chamoto, on the father-in-law and the mother-in-law side. So we know that Eim Chamiv and Eim Chamuto are already restricted because there's a restriction against Isha Ubita and then Bat Bina Bat Bita. It's a woman and her daughter, a woman and her granddaughter. So Eim Chamiv and Eim Chamuto are the equivalent. It's the backwards way, but the same thing as marrying a woman and a granddaughter. It's just here you have the woman and the grandmother. So it's just the reverse of the same restriction. So those are already restricted midoraita because of the restriction against marrying a woman and her granddaughter. So over here, marrying the granddaughter and the grandmother are also restricted. That is midoraita. So what is Rabbi Chia adds on is an additional level above that, which is Dori Viish B'chamiv. Hanu Eim Chamiv. That means the mother of his father-in-law. And the same will be true on the other side. the mother of the mother of his mother-in-law. So he added one generation of mother above that, which is great-grandmother of his wife, his wife's great-grandmother. But it's only if it works through, again, the same position that would be Doraita, which is Im Chamiv, the mother of his father-in-law, then the mother of that mother, and the same thing on the other side, the mother of his mother-in-law, the mother of that mother of his mother-in-law will also be restricted. So you have two great-grandmothers that are restricted. That's the six that Rabbi Chiya adds on over here. And now the Gemara says, Amar le Ravina le Ravashi, Maishna le Malo, de Chachashiv la le Ishto. Why, when we're going upwards, does it consider the wife? Because he says four generations upward. A great-grandmother is only three generations upward, unless you count the first generation, the wife herself. Then you have the wife, the father-in-law, then the father-in-law's mother, and then the mother of the mother of the father-in-law. That's the four generations, but that includes counting Ishto, that's his wife. When you went down, that you didn't count the wife, picking, let's say, Bat Binah. In the scenario, Bat Binah, which is Asur Midoraita, right? So Binah is the first generation, Bat Binah is the second generation, and we just added on another generation over there, which was Bat Ben Binah. So that's three generations down, but you didn't enumerate in those generations the wife. You only counted the generations below. So why, when you're going downwards, I mean, newer generations, we say that you only count three and you don't include the wife. When we went backwards in history, we said, oh, we include the wife in that enumeration. So Gemara says, the malo de isura mikoach ishtoka ati choshivla. Because going upward in generations, the whole issu is generated through his wife, through marriage. So since it's a marriage relationship that generates it, you count the wife because she is what precipitates the isur over here. Mato de isura la mikoach ishtoka ati. When you're going down in the generations where the issur is not generated by his wife, loka chashivla. So that works well for one of the two scenarios that Rabbi Chiya spoke about. Rabbi Chiya spoke about one scenario upwards, which is the father-in-law and mother-in-law chain. But on the way down, he spoke about two chains. He spoke about one chain coming through his children and another chain coming through his stepchildren, children that are born to his wife. No, so as far as his children are concerned, you're right that it comes from him. So therefore, you don't have to count him in the generation. But when you're talking about stepchildren, once again, the generator or what precipitates the issue is the marriage to this woman. The woman should be counted on the down as well. So then where it says, Vaha, ben ishto, ubat ishto, di sura mikoach ishto ka'ate. That's exactly, they generated through his wife. They're not generated through him. He has no relationship to these children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren. The only reason that they are surim is because they are his stepchildren through the marriage to his wife. Velo choshivla. It didn't count them. So the Gemara gives, Aidi detana shlosha dorot amata didei. Because when they were counting his, they counted only three generations down because it was from him. So there, velo chashva, and therefore it didn't count her. Tana nami gimel dorot amata dida, velo chashva, and did not count her. So in the scenario down, you have two trees that go downward. One that is generated by him. One is generated through the woman that he married, Ishto. So he has stepchildren, and he has his own children. With regards to his own children, it doesn't make sense to count four generations because the Isser is derived from him. It's his son, it's his daughter, so you don't have to count him in the list, therefore you count it down three. As far as the woman that he marries, his stepchildren, you're right. It's all generated through the woman that he married, and you should have counted four. But to keep parallel structure, the fact that you counted three by him, you also count three by his wife's children. On the other hand, when you're going up, up only apply to his father-in-law and the mother-in-law, therefore it's only generated through his wife. So there's only one way to go, and that's up through his wife, and therefore they counted four on the way up. Amale Rav Ashi Rav Kahana. Shniot debei Rabbi Chiya. Yesh lem hefsek, oin lem hefsek. So this is a question that we had yesterday with the Shniot Arayot, which is, in general with Arayot, do they keep extending upward through each generation? So the question applies with Shniot Arayot, and we asked this question yesterday. And we have the statement that we were trying to explain, which is Amarav, Arba Nashim Yeshlam Hefsek. There were four out of the Shniot Arayot, out of those eight Shniot Arayot, four of them stop at that point and do not continue to a higher generation or lower generation because we said that it was too far removed, it didn't make sense. The Gemara gave reasons over there as to why. So they're asking the same question with regards to Rabbi Chiya. Rabbi Chiya's Arayot, here the six that he added on now, do they end or are they continuous? Do we keep looking up? So, for instance, in our case here, where you're talking about the mother of one's mother-in-law, that's already Asur Midoraita. The mother of the mother of one's mother-in-law, that's Shniyot Rabbi Chiya. So if I went up one more generation, a great-great-grandmother, and so I said it was aim, chamoto, is that also restricted because there's Ein Lam Hefsek, or do you say stop there? Tashma, Damarav, Dalad Neshim, Yeshlam Hefsek, Vetula. We have the statement from yesterday, which Rav said that there are only four women where it stops with regards to Shniyot Derayot. So maybe that's four. So four sounds like only four. There's no more than that. So when it says, Dilma ki rama Rav lahai matnita, Rav's statement is made in reference to the Braita, which only brings eight Shniyot Derayot. It's not in reference to Rabbi Chiya's Braita, which adds the additional six. You have to know the context in which Rav was said. So you can't infer from Rav that there's no additional items that don't have Hefsek because Rav was only speaking in reference to the Braita of the eight that we brought yesterday. He's not speaking in reference to Rabbi Chiya's statement. So Tashma, Shlishi Urvi'i, it says that these are Shlishi and Revi'i. Shlishi v'Revi'i in Tfeilo. Sounds like three generations down, four generations up, and that's it. That's the cutoff. So when it says, Dilma Shlishi v'Elech, Revi'i v'Elech, how do you know? Third generation and fourth generation may not mean those only and not the others. It just mean me. From the third generation down and onwards, it's problematic. From the fourth generation and upwards, then it continues to be problematic. Tosafot does ask why the Gemara here has a safek with regards to a great-granddaughter, whether it has hefsek or not. Because in yesterday's daf, we already said that Kalat ben Bino, in the daughter-in-law of his grandchild, is problematic and in la hefsek. Over here, where we're talking about a relationship that's a blood relationship, then certainly that's closer than the daughter-in-law relationship, which is a marriage relationship. So why wouldn't you say that this continues on, just like Kalat ben Bino? So Tosafot answers that there is a difference, because in the scenario of Kalat ben Bino, that's a Yerusha relationship. Since it's a Yerusha relationship, they spend more time with their great-grandfather. And because of that, there is more of an issue of kirva. Whereas in the case here, where it's not a Yerusha relationship, therefore, they wouldn't be as close with their great-grandfather. Other Rishonim disagree. The Rosh, the Ramban, say that the Gemara's question here about Hefsek is only about the generations upwards, meaning the Revi'i ve'Elech going up towards Chamiv and Chamuto, but with regards to the Shlishi going down, whether it's on his side or his wife's side, that we already answered from Kalad ben Bino, that there is no Hefsek, and the Gemara's question does not relate to that. Gemara leaves this issue unresolved, and now moves on to a different topic with regards to Shniyot Arayot. Samarlei Rava, the Rav Nachman, Chazimar Haimi Rabbonon, Da'atu Miyamar Rava. So you see this Rabbonon who came from Eretz Yisrael, V'amar Bo'um B'mar Rava. In Marava they asked this question, Eretz Yisrael they asked this question. Gazru Shniyot Begerim, or lo Gazru Shniyot Begerim? Are there Shniyot Arayot Begerim, or there are no Shniyot Begerim? Samarlei, Hashto. Uma irva gufa. The whole problem of arayot by gerim. Ilav shloim ru baim mikdusha chamura l'kdusha kala glo gazru behu rabbanim. Had it not been for the fact that a ger who comes over, all of a sudden we would be matir all of their relatives and say there is no more arayot. Why by a ger is there no arayot? Because a ger is ke katan shenolad dami. They lose all relationships, they lose all relatives because they're as if they are a newborn child. Since they're classified as a newborn child, all arayot fall by the wayside. And actually a ger has no relatives, no arayot at all. But what's the problem? He was a goy until now. This goy is restricted. B'shiva mitzvah b'nei noach, he's restricted in arayot. All of a sudden, he becomes a Jew, and all the arayot drop away. So he went from kedusha kala, from shiva mitzvah b'nei noach, now to being under the auspices of the Torah. And when he got the auspices of Torah, we're more mekil. We're matir arayot to him. That makes no sense. Not, again, mitzad isor. It just doesn't make sense because we don't want him to feel like, oh, now he became a Jew. Things are much easier, better. It's less. He shouldn't be any less than he was when he was a goy. So because of that, the chachamim were mitaken by arayot. This is not arayot midoraito. These are arayot midorabanan, which is that they instituted ilav shloim ru bai mikdusha chamula kdusha kala logaz ru ba'am rabbanan. The rabbanan were guzel. Shniot mibai. So now you want to add on Shniot on top of that? Meaning that Shniot already exerted the Rabbanan. So when you're talking about Arayot de Oraita, then you could talk about Shniot de Rabbanan that sit on top of that. And even yesterday in the Daf, they asked, oh, aren't some of the Shniot Gzeira de Gzeira? And the Gemara says, after the michlufe, you may switch them around, they get confused. So, as if it's like one big zera. But over here, it's clear that the arayot themselves are just a zera. Because the ger is not restricted in any arayot. So now you want to pile on top of that another zera of shniot? Doesn't make any sense. What's the question at all? Now, what's interesting about this is that the Gemara gives two different reasons with regards to gerim as to why there's arayot by gerim. One of the reasons over here is because b'im nekdusha kala, the kedusha chamura, they're coming from less mitzvot to more mitzvot, and all of a sudden they get heterim and arayot become mutarot. That's one. The second reason is atanami the mishnei erva b'Yisrael, atele chlufe. They will get mixed up with, Jews will get mixed up. They'll see that this ger is marrying someone. They'll say, oh my gosh, this is mutar. And then they're going to go ahead and be matir, something that is otherwise asur to Yisrael. So Tosafot over here breaks down, bifurcates the din by a ger, and says it depends which side the relative comes from. If the relative comes from the tzad av, from the father's side, then the reason is so that he won't come from kedusha chamura, the kedusha kala, because there by the ger, everybody knows that the yichus through the father is meaningless, and that's why they know that he can marry into those relatives. So if it was ate the chlufe of Yisrael, a Jew would not get confused, because everybody knows that halacha, that there is no yichus to the father with regards to non-Jews. So there's no confusion issue. There's the issue of coming from kedusha kala to kedusha chamura. On the other hand, relatives through the mother, where not everybody knows that a ger is kekatan shenolad dami, there we say ate le'echlufe. There you could get confused because there it's through the aim, and there is yichus through the aim, and then people won't know that, and then they'll mix it up with a Jew. Now, why is that relevant? Because the next statement here. Amar Rav Nachman, gerim. Since we're talking about the type of gerim, name of milta. Let us say something about them. You know, we're already on topic, let us just get something else out of here. Achim min aim, lo ya'idu. If you have brothers through a mother, they cannot testify. Ve'im idu, if they do testify, edutan edut. So, l'chatchila, brothers through the mother should not testify for each other. This time at a ger. Brothers through the mother should not testify to each other. But if they do testify, it's good. Achim min a'av. If they're brothers through a father, me'idim la'atchila. They can come and testify, no problem. So, me'imar amar, afilu achim min a'im, nami me'idim la'atchila. Me'imar says, even brothers through the mother can come and testify, no problem. Over here, because he's a ger, and seemingly his brother was also a ger, otherwise it really wouldn't be so relevant, but both of them are gerim, and they come. How are they related? Are they related as brothers through the mother? Or are they related as brothers through the father? Can they testify one for the other? Well, they're katan kishanola dami. They have no relationship anymore. Maybe they should be able to testify for each other. So we have the first statement of Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, by the brothers through the father, no problem. They can come and testify for each other. No questions asked. By the mother, we say, don't do it. But if you did it, it works. A maimer comes along and says, no, the blechad chila for both of them. Brothers through the mother or the father can come and testify for each other. Rav says, umayishnami arayot. Wait a minute, you just said over here that arayot, we don't allow it to go through. Even though they're katan kekatan shenola domi, by arayot, we don't say carte blanche and they can marry anyone. That Gemara asks the question, maishnami arayot. By arayot, we make no such distinction. Nobody is allowing this to go on by arayot. How come we're allowing it to go on with testimony in a case? So here the Gemara answers, erva l'chol mesura. When it comes to arayot, nobody checks in with the Beit Din before they get married. People get married and that's a thing, that's a practice that's out amongst the commoners. So therefore, by arayot, we have to make sure that everything's in place and everything is perfect, because otherwise, people are going to get confused and mix things up. That's what Rashi says over here. Atinam in the Mishnah Erva b'Yisrael. People are going to see what the ger is doing, and then they're going to mimic that behavior, even amongst Jews, not understanding that he's kekatan she nolad dami. On the other hand, when it comes to edut, the Beit Din Misura, when it comes to Eidot, you're coming to Beit Din. Beit Din knows the halacha. Beit Din knows why we're accepting him in this case and not accepting him in another case. Beger, shenitzgayer, kekatan shenola dami. That piece of information is well known to the Beit Din, and they can differentiate between brothers through a father, brothers through a mother, that are gerim, versus regular Jews that show up in that scenario. Versus arayot, where you're not coming to Beit Din, and if people see these gerim marrying or doing certain things that are with arayot of the aim, they're going to come to be matir. So again, that's the distinction that Tosafot just made before, which is certain the arayot are surot to the ger, because it shouldn't say he came from kedusha kala to kedusha chamura. Certain of them are asurim because of the perception of a regular Israel seeing what's going on, and that they may mimic that behavior, because that's erva l'chol mesura. So you have pieces of it. So Tosfos differentiates between the mother's family and the father's family. By the father's family, where everybody knows that there's no yichus to the father by goyim, over there it's so that he shouldn't be coming from kedusha kala to kedusha chamura, and then all of a sudden become mutar. By the aim side, where there they think there is yichus, and they don't realize that a ger is kikatan shenolad dami, over there the isur is because of a Yisrael might get confused. That's erev alachol masura, that they may confuse themselves, and that's why it's a source. You need both reasons to deal with different issues that come up with arayot. But it's only in arayot that we do this, because of the problems that would come up. Regards to Edut, which is Masurah the Beit Din, over there, we say Beit Din can handle these types of nuances. They can understand that there's a difference, and they know the halacha. They're not going to confuse the halacha in these situations. All right, next Mishnah. Mi sheish lo ach mikom akom, zukei kedesh rachiv liyibum. Person has a brother, no matter how he has this brother, then he forces his brother's wife to perform yibum. All of these issues are going to be addressed by the Gemara, so I'm not going to spend so much time on the Mishnah, even though the Mishnah seems somewhat cryptic. What does it mean that he has a brother from anywhere? And the Gemara will ask that question right away. What does that mean? So if he has any semblance of a brother, that brother causes his wife, if Reuven passes away without children, his wife has a zika to the miyabim, like Shimon, no matter how Shimon is a brother to Reuven. Now, obviously, we know there are limitations, because the Torah says it has to be a brother through the father. That we're not going to give up on. But what other issues can come up, we'll see. V'chiv l'chol davar. And he's considered his brother for everything. Again, what does that mean? Chutz mimi sheish lo ach min hashivcha u'min ha'ovedet kochavim. Unless they are brothers. Now, they share a common father, but obviously not a common mother, or maybe even a common mother. But they are born. The mother is either a shivcha knanit or a non-Jew. So in those scenarios, there is no brotherhood there. And that's because there's a loss of yichus over there. They're not mityaches after the father, and we'll see why that is. But when the father marries a shivcha kananit or a novedet kochavim, the children are not considered to be his children anymore. So we'll see why that is. Mi sheish lo ben mikol makom. Person has a child, no matter what. Puter eshet aviv min hayibum. Then he's puter his father's wife from having to perform yibum. So the number one is, for the father, any child is sufficient. And then even his own child, if they have any child, that's also sufficient to stop the need for yibum over here. And again, the Gemara will explain why that is. V'chayav amakato v'akilulato. They are considered to be a child for all intensive purposes. And therefore, if they hit their parent, then they are makei avivimo. And kilulat avivimo, both of them are restrictions midoraita with death penalties associated with them. So those all apply here. No matter what the scenario is or how this child is a child to this father, these apply. Ubeno l'chol davar, and he's considered to be a child for all intensive purposes. Chutz, shemei shelo ben min hashivcha min overet kochavim. With the same exception here, that if the child was born through a shivcha knanit or an overet kochavim, there's no yichus to the father anymore, and they're not considered to be a child. So Nehemiah asks the question right away, mikol makom latuyei mai. What does that mean, you have a brother no matter what? What type of no matter what is this brother? So, latuyei mai, amar Rabbi Yehuda, latuyei mamzer. To include a mamzer. So even though the brother is a mamzer, still considered to be one's brother. So if Reuven has a brother through the father, Shimon, but Shimon is a product of a relationship with his father and an Isur Erva that has karet with associates, so it's a mamzer. Shimon's a mamzer, he's still a full-fledged brother of Reuven, even though he's born out of sin, is still considered to be a brother. And therefore, as far as Yibum is concerned, if Reuven dies without children, Shimon has to deal with his wife. Now, obviously, we're not going to perform Yibum over here because there's an Isur Lav involved in marrying a mamzer. That's what we saw before. Choletzit velo mitya bemet. He has to perform Chalitza, but no Yibum, but he has to deal with it. He's a real brother. As far as Yerusha is concerned, they are equal partners in Yerusha from their father. When they inherit from the father, the mamzer is no less of a brother than any of the other brothers that Reuven has. What it's saying here is that a mamzer has a full status of brother or for anything here. He might be restricted milavala kahal, but that's it. That's the only restriction that exists on him. Otherwise, he is a regular brother for this individual. So pshita, what's the question here? Achivu, what about being a mamzer diminishes his being a brother to this individual? He's a brother, even though he was born through sin, he's still a brother. So Mar says, ma'udatema leilef achva achva b'nei Yaakov. That's how we learn the fact that brothers through the father are considered for Yibum and not brothers through a mother, because we learn that out of Gzer Shavav Achim Achim from Bnei Yaakov. Malahalan k'sherim v'lo psulim, afkan k'sherim v'lo psulim. So Seder say the same thing. Just like Bnei Yaakov, they were all not Mamzerim, they're all Kshirim. So say the same thing over here, that it's not. Kamash Malan, that it's not the case. The Gemara says, Vema HaKanami. What do you mean, Kamash Malan, that's not the case? Why not? You have this Gzerah Shavah. Why don't we apply the Gzerah Shavah this way? Kevin Dilinyan Yibo Miftar Niftar. Because since this child, if they were a child, they would be poter their father's wife from Yibom, Miskap Nami Zokik. Therefore, they also create a Zika to the brother. So the Gemara avoids the question by dumping it on the next scenario in the Mishnah, which is, in the next scenario in the Mishnah, the Gemara is going to discuss what child is poter the father's wife from Yibom. So basically, the Gemara is already implying here, and that's going to be the next line in the Gemara, is that even a Mamzer is sufficient to be poter the mother or the father's wife from Yibum. The fact that that child suffices to get rid of the need for Yibum, that child will also be good enough to be a Miyabim. So if he's in the parsha of Yibum already to be poter his father's wife from Yibum, he also will be good enough to be a brother to perform Yibum. And that's the Gemara's conclusion over here. That's how we know it. Now, obviously, the question is, how do you know that's true? By a child, because that's the next step. The Gemara just threw it forward to the next issue. V'achiv d'chol davar. What is achiv d'chol davar? The ma'i hilchata. What does it mean? He's a brother for everything. The yoshoa l'tamei lo. That is to inherit him. Again, they share in the inheritance of their father. L'tamei lo. If he's a kohen. A kohen has an exemption by 7 of his closest relatives to become tamei. When they bury those relatives, he can become a tamei to be metapel b'mate. One of those 7 relatives is a brother. Now here, a brother is a kohen mamzer, he can be mitamei in order to deal with his brother. Or the other way around, his brother's a kohen, can also be mitamei to deal with his brother who is a mamzer. Pshita, achivu. Why would you have thought otherwise? He's his brother. The Torah says if you have a brother, you're allowed to become tamei as a kohen. Saka, das kamina hol b'ktiv, ki im l'sheiro akarove lav. One of those 7 relatives is one's wife. L'sheiro akarove lav means that she'er, the one who is a close relative. The Gemara darshins on that. Vamamar shero zu ishto. Shero refers to his wife. Uchtiv lo yitamei baal be'amav lehechalo. Ish baal shemitamei, vish baal sheinu mitamei. So sometimes it says lo yitamei baal be'amav lehechalo. Person cannot become tamei lehechalo to make him chulin, to profane him. So it makes it sound like there are certain times that a husband cannot become tamei, because that would be profaning his kedusha. So this Gemara makes a statement that, not here, but obviously in the sugya that's dealing with this, but it makes a statement that sometimes a husband does become tamei, sometimes a husband does not become tamei for his wife. Ha ketzad. What is that scenario? Mitameihu lishto ksheira. He's mitamei if his wife was a proper wife for him. Ve'in mitamei lishto psula. But he's not allowed to become tamei for ishto psula. For instance, a kohen that marries a grusha, in that instance, he cannot become tamei for his wife because he shouldn't have married her in the first place. Since he shouldn't have married in the first place, we're not going to allow him to become tamei to deal with this woman who he shouldn't be married to. He cannot be mitamei for such a woman. If his wife is ksheira, then he can be mitamei for her. So hochanami. So let's say the same thing over here. Mitamei hu la'ach kasher, ve'en mitamei la'ach pasul. So over here, he'll be mitamei for a ach who is kasher, but not for an ach who's pasul, like a mamzer. Kamash malon, that's not the case. Again, the Gemara says, ve'en hochanami. Why don't we say this? He says there's a big difference between a brother and a wife. Hotam la fuke kaima hochachifu. There's a big difference. This is a basic point. You can choose who you marry. You can't choose who's your family. Meaning that blood relatives are, by definition, your relatives. You can't disown your relatives. By a wife, that's a choice one makes to marry. And therefore, if someone marries an illegal wife, here, the kohen who marries a grusha, then she's ome la fuke. He has to divorce her. I mean, the Beit Din will force him to divorce her if they can. If not, he's supposed to divorce her. She's not supposed to remain as his wife. And if we can, we're going to have him get rid of this wife. So as far as a wife is concerned, this is a temporary situation because as soon as we can, we're going to have this marriage annulled or dissolve this marriage because he's in an improper marriage. As far as brothers are concerned, just because his brother's an mamzer, he can't, that's not going to change anything. It's always going to be his brother. He can't just, you know, get rid of his brother. His brother is his brother. And so because of that, with regards to brothers, we don't make such a distinction between psulim and ksherim. Whatever it's his brother, brother is a brother, and therefore he can be mitamei for his brother. By wives, we don't say, just because it's a wife, he's mitamei, because by wife you have the ability to detach the relationship. And since you can divorce and get rid of that relationship, then there's no obligation to become tamei for one's wife in that situation. All right, now the Gemara says, Chutz mishmesh lo ach min ha-shivcha u min ha-ovedet kochavim. The only time that an ach doesn't count is when the father married or has the child through a shivcha kananit or through a non-Jew. My time. Amakra ha-isha bilada tie la-aduneha. It's a case by the Parshat Mishpatim where an Eved Ivri is working for an individual. The master can give the Eved Ivri a shivcha kananit to marry while he is an Eved Ivri. And it says about those children, Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. And Eved Kenani and Shivcha Kenanit are partially Jewish based on how they become Avadim and how they become Shvachot. We'll deal with that later in the Masechta about the conversion process that's involved with the Shivcha Kenanit and Eved Kenani. But the Shivcha Kenanit is given to this Eved Ivri, and then he produces children. And the Torah says about that woman and the children, Haisha Viladea Tiyala Adonah. They don't belong to this Eved Ivri. This Eved Ivri is a full-fledged Jew. The children are born out of the Shivcha Kenanit. Those children do not belong to him. They belong to his master. So his master keeps the woman, meaning the Shivcha Kenanit, as well as all the children. So it's pretty clear that he has no yichus in of these children. These children, if they were miyuchas after him, they would be his children, and then the master couldn't take his children. But if these are not his children, then the master can keep them because they don't belong to him. And that's the scenario that the Torah says. Now, that does solve one of the problems here, which is, that only talks about Shivcha Kenanit. That doesn't talk about a ben born mi'avudet kochavim, which will be in tomorrow's daf. We'll deal with that. But why is that not considered? Why is it not yichus by ben avudet kochavim? It relates back to what we saw back in daf yutet with regards to ki yasir bincha me'acharai, which is the pasuk tells us that there's only a problem of losing your child to avodah zarah when it's your daughter who's married to the oved avodah zarah. In that case, the child is Jewish, and then we worry about that child being taken off the derech. But when your son marries an ovedet kochavim, we don't worry about ki tasir, because over there, their yichus is gone. I mean, there is no Jewish child born, and therefore, they're not Jewish to start with. What's the problem of ki tasir? So that relates back to what we saw. We're going to see it back on Yutet, and we're going to see it again in tomorrow's daf. But that the Gemara does not address here. It only addresses the side of Shivcha Kenanit right now. Right now, the next. We go next level down in the Mishnah. Mishosh ben mikol makom poter. Person has a child, no matter what, is poter. So now we have the residual question from Ach, which is the Gemara says, well, since it works by a ben, it's also going to work by an Ach. So here we have to have, we're going to have much deeper questioning about this. Mikol makom latuye mai. What is mikol makom? I'm Rav Yehuda latuye mamzer. Once again, a child who's a mamzer will be poter, the father's wife, from Yibum. So obviously, the case of mamzer, if he has a child and he's married to a woman, and they have a mamzer, then why is this woman worried about it? Obviously, it's not his wife. Because if he produced a mamzer, the woman that he produced a mamzer through is a isur karet. There's no kedushin tofsin. So obviously it was an out of, quote unquote, out of wedlock relationship. So he's now married to another woman through, he has no children through this woman. The question is, that woman, when he passes away, does that woman up for yibum or not? This husband has a child. It was a child that was born out of an illicit relationship that produced the mamzer. Is that enough to take care of this woman so she doesn't have to have yibum perform with her? So the answer is yes, mamzer is enough. My time. What's the reason? So here the Gemara asks straight out, what's going on here? So Amar Kra, Ubein Ein Lo, Ayin Alav. Right, so as opposed to by Achiv, where the Gemara said it was Pshita, okay, wait, this is a brother. It's Pshita that he's a brother, and why should it be any different? Over here the Gemara says, wait a minute, why? Why is it by a Ben? Because here you have to answer both questions. You're answering for Achiv, and you're asking for Ben over here. Because Achiv, now we said, is premised on the fact that since the mamzer is poter, the husband's wife from Yibum, so too he's considered to be a brother. So now we have to answer both of those questions in one shot, and it's why? Why by a son is a mamzer good enough? So that says, Ubein Ein Lo. It's a very interesting drasha. As Rashi says over here, you find the word Ein in the Torah, written without a Yud in it. And since it has a Yud in here, the Gemara is darshing on Ein Ayin Alav, that you should check out after him. If he has any descendants, if he has any offspring, that offspring will be Poter Mi Yibum. So that means, son, daughter who are mamzerim, grandchildren, anybody, any descendant that exists will poter the wife from Yibum, and that's Ayin Alav. You gotta check that he has any descendants. Once he has any descendants, it's enough. Tosafot here makes an interesting point. He says that sometimes the Torah says Ben, and sometimes the Torah says Zera. So how do you know what are the limitations or the restrictions with regards to each one? So he says, when the Torah uses the word Zera. Zera means any descendant. That means a child, a grandchild, a great-grandchild. But zera also only means someone who's kasher. So if you use the term zera, zera means limited to someone who's kasher, but it does not limit the number of generations below. On the other hand, when you use the term ben limits you to one generation down, means ben, because the Gemara will ask in places, okay, I know about a ben, b'nei banim, how do I know that? So there we don't say b'nei banim harim ki banim when you use the term ben. When you use the word zera, that is the case. But ben does not exclude a zera pasul. So you have a balance. If you use the term ben, that includes even psulim, but it only includes one generation. If you use zera, then it means kasher, but multiple generations. So it's a nuance in the wording, but he's telling you that here, when the Torah used ben, we first of all would have limited it to one generation, even though we wouldn't have limited it to psulim, and that might even include a bvat, so a daughter might be included here, and we would include a mamzer. If it were not for the mitigating factor of achim achim from Bnei Yaakov, that would have indicated a kasher. So that's why we need ayin alav to overcome that. And then ayin alav, that's what it's teaching you, that this idea that we look, and no matter what it is, the ben is fine. So the shita that Tosafot, psulim, mamzer, is learnt out of the word ayin alav, but a daughter is learnt out of either ayin alav, she's no worse than a psul, or from lo yimachesh mo mi Yisrael. And then bnei banim and ben abat, the multiple generations, actually learnt out of Yerusha. There the Gemara in Baba Batra has a limud for multiple generations, and we're going to carry that back over to Yibum, which has also a din in Nachala. That's the way Tosafot learns. On the other hand, the Meiri says Ayin Alav includes everything. Ayin Alav means anybody who is a Zera, anything that extends from this individual is considered to be a Poter for Yibum. That includes a Pasul, that includes a Ben, a Bat, and multiple generations. The Ramban takes a somewhat middle approach over here, and he says, Ayin Alav takes care of the issue of Mamzer, as well as multiple generations, but he's not willing to have Ayin Alav include a bat, the way that the Meiri does, and the way that the Baal Halachot Gedolot does. And therefore, he says over here, the way that we learn out bat is actually from a Kal Vachomer. If bat bino, meaning the granddaughter, is enough to be poter him, because that is a descendant of his ben, then certainly bito should be enough to be poter him. And he's unwilling, like Tosafot, to learn from Yerusha, because he says the Gemara in Baba Vatra is trying to use Yibum to prove what the order of priority is by Yerusha. And one of those issues is the fact that a bat is poter, the father's wife, from Yibum. Well, if we learned that out of Yerusha, then that wouldn't help us to give priority by Yerusha, because it was learned out of Yerusha to Yibum, and now you're trying to bring it back to Yerusha. Never it says that Tosafot's answers are not sufficient. Now, v'chayava makato. This is interesting. We said that any child, for instance, a mamzer, if they hit their parents, then they are restricted by makeh avivimo. So that person who hits their parents is chayav mita. So too this child. Amai karikan v'nasi b'amchalu ta'or. We have a principle, and which is that with regards to cursing, we have restrictions against cursing one's parents. We have restrictions against cursing a nasi. And we also have restriction against cursing elukim. Now there it's not clear whether the word is elukim or elohim. So there, actually, we darsh in both of them. And it's an interesting play. We say that it's Elohim, meaning a Dayan, and also mean Elohim, meaning God. And from that, you have this idea that there's this interplay between a Dayan and Elohim, meaning that the two are considered to be similar in many ways. And the Torah uses the word Elohim and Elohim, and many times it's not clear what they're referring to. Are they referring to God, or are they referring to a Dayan? We just had this in Breshit, with Benot Adam in Bnei Elohim. Are they Bnei Elohim or are they Bnei Elohim? So Rashi brings down that they were the sons of the great ones of the Dayanim, meaning that he spoke as Elohim. But again, many times it's unclear. So here are those are all the restrictions you have with regards to the cursing. Then it says, V'nasi ba'amcha lo ta'ur. One may not curse a nasi ba'amcha. Why does it use the term ba'amcha? Could you say nasi lo ta'ur? Whereas ba'amcha, bose ma'se amcha. That's only if they're ksherim. If they're doing what they're supposed to be doing, meaning that they're keeping the Torah, then there's a restriction against cursing them. Alright, so this is another scenario, not our case over here, it's not relevant to us, but the explanation is that he did tshuva. Hachanami, in our case, basa tshuva. If the father didn't do tshuva, then how could you restrict the son from against cursing the father? The father only has this classification of being restricted in cursing, just like the nasi, if they act appropriately. It's clear this father didn't act appropriately because this child is a mamzer. By the mere fact that he's a mamzer, the father's not acting appropriately. So then why is there a restriction on the mamzer cursing the father? Because the father's not behaving ke'amcho. He's not osim ase'amcho. So why is there any restriction? So the answer is, he did tshuva. The father did tshuva. Now, v'hai bar tshuvo, is there ability for this parent to do tshuva? But it's not. So we saw this in Chagiga together. Shimon ben Manasseh omer, ezu me'uvat, lo yuchol litkon. What is a mistake that cannot be rectified? Ze baler vavol, did mi menam amzer. This is a person who, as a child, through an illicit relationship, there's a mamzer that's produced. So it says, hashta mi'ose ma'aseh amchuhu. At this point, he's doing the right thing. So it's very interesting. If you remember back then, we had multiple explanations about what this means. Abal ervav, lead me menam amzer. Why is he not able to do tshuva? So Tosafot brought a number of reasons. Rashi brought a reason over there. It's not clear what that means. It doesn't mean he can't do tshuva because the object of his sin is always there and he can't take that back. You can't reverse that. So the reality sits in front of him at all times. That's one thing. Or the possibility is that prevents him from doing tshuva because the sin is always there. And if the sin's always in front of you, it's very hard to do tshuva because you can never take away. When you try to do tshuva, part of the tshuva process is a little bit of forgetfulness and the ability to rectify it and say that I'm a different person. But if the sin's always sitting in front of you, it's very hard to do that. So you see, Rashi over here says, what does that mean? He says, Nehi nami davono galui. His sin is well known. V'nis kar kol zman shemamzer kayem. And it's remembered all the time that the mamzer is around. Miu. Mitshuva v'elech b'klal usei ma'aseh amchahu. So Rashi talks about this idea of being galui, which is also another one of the reasons that was brought over there, that it's something that's publicly known, because you have this mamzer here. Everybody knows that you sinned. It's very hard to do tshuva or claim that there's tshuva over here. But the Gemara here is splitting the din, bifurcates the din, and says, yes, the sin or the product of that sin will always remain, and you cannot rectify that, and that is muvat lo yochol litkon. On the other hand, but in terms of you, the individual themselves, they can do tshuva. They can do tshuva. Yes, they cannot fix what they did in the past. They cannot change the fact that they sinned, and they're doing tshuva now, but now they're acting b'maaseh amcho. And once you're asking b'maaseh amcho, then the child is responsible to act towards their parent in the proper way. And if a mom's their child curses their parent, then they're subject to the rules of someone who curses one's parents because the parent now is acting appropriately. Tana Banan. Haba ala ochoto vi bat eshet aviv. Person who has a relationship with his sister. She also happens to be bat eshet aviv. Also happens to be the daughter of the father's wife. What happens in that scenario? Are there two chiyuvim over here? Does this person now bump into two problems of Ariot? Do they bump into a problem of Machot and Bat Eshet Aviv? Or do they only bump into one of those two problems? So now, Chayav Mishum Machoto, Umishum Bat Eshet Aviv. That's the first statement. Rabbi Yossi ben Yehuda Omer, Enu Chayav Elo Mishum Machoto Bil Vad. The only Chayav for Achoto Bil Vad. Velo Mipnei Bat Eshet Aviv, but you're not Chayav for Bat Eshet Aviv. Now the Gemara is going to break down the issue. So with regards to a sister, the Torah has two psukim. Ervat achutcha, vat avicha, vat imecha, moledet bayit, moledet chutz, lo tigarele ervatan. In addition to that, it has another pasuk, which is ervat bat eshet avicha, moledet avicha, achutcha hi, lo tigale ervata. So here you have two psukim that deal with achot, with sisters. Now, in the first pasuk, the word ishut is absent. Since the word is ishut is absent, here, Chazal told us that pasuk is talking about even out of wedlock sister, where either they share a common father or a common mother, because the word Ishut is not mentioned. Whereas in the second pasuk it says, Ervat bat eshet avicha, that is the daughter that is born through your father's wife. Now, what the Gemara says, by definition, if it's Ervat bat eshet avicha, it's also Ervat achotcha bat avicha. It's also that you share a common father. So now, in that scenario where the father marries another woman and has a child that is now the sister of this individual, not only is that child his sister because they share a common father, but it's also his sister because it's bat eshet avicha, it's the daughter of your father's wife. So there, in instance where there are two isurim that apply to this individual, what is the status? Are there two isurim or is there only one isur? And that's the machloket that is being brought over here, which is in the scenario where you have Yaakov, who was Me'anes Rachel, and through that relationship was born Yosef. And then afterwards, Yaakov goes ahead and marries Leah, And after marrying Leah, he has a daughter named Dina. That Dina, vis-a-vis Yosef, is both achotcha bat avicha. It's your sister because you share a common father. But it's also ervat bat eshet avicha. So it's also your father's wife's daughter. So you have a chot from two sides. So here you have the machlok between the Rabbanan and Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, as to how we deal with that scenario where you have both restrictions on you. According to Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, there's only one violation here, and that's achotcha. That's the only violation that you have. On the other hand, the Chachamim believe you're in violation of both. You're in violation of achotcha, and you're in violation of bat eshet avicha. What's the reasoning behind the Rabbanan's position? The pasuk says, ervat achotcha bat avicha bat imecha. That second pasuk is unnecessary. That second pasuk, by definition, if it's ervat bat eshet avicha, it's also ervat achotcha, because it's bat avicha. So why do we need that extra pasuk? Must be that we have that extra pasuk. In a scenario where the daughter is born both through a common father, but also is bat eshet aviv, you're going to be in violation of two isurim if one engages in a relationship with that sister. That is the position of the Chachamim. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda Makra, achotcha hi is a miut to come to teach you that you're only chayav for achotcha, but not mishum bat eshet aviv. To tell you, mishum achotcha ata mechayvo, v'yata mechayvo mishum bat eshet aviv. It's a miut. Achotcha hi means only achotcha and not anything else. Rabbanan, hay achotcha hi, my avdilei. The Rabbanan achotchi, what do they do with it? Mibailu lechayvo achoto bat avivu bat imo. That comes to teach you about being chayav where you share two common parents. Now that should have been a kal v'chomer out of the pasuk. Lomar shein mazirin min adin. That should have been obvious because the pasuk says erva achotcha bat avicha bat imecha. If you only share a common father or you only share a common mother, you're considered to be a brother and sister. Then certainly where you share a common father and mother, you're considered to be a brother and sister. So then, why did the Torah come and write Achot Chayi? Comes to teach you that in a scenario where you share a common parent, you're also brother and sister. But why say that? It's a logical extension of the first pasuk. Lomar she'en mazirin min adin. To teach you when it comes to capital crimes, where we don't have an explicit isur in the Torah, or we don't have the onesh in the Torah, we say ein mazirin min adin. Min adin means through a logical argument. We do not extrapolate isurim through a logical argument, and we do not, enon shim in adin, we don't punish through logical arguments. So over here, even though it's a kal v'chomer, if they share a common father or a common mother that you're a chayav, then certainly where they share both parents, you would be a chayav. Nevertheless, the Torah went out of its way to write it to show you that that's not the case. So Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, im kein lektob rachman achotcha. All then you would have, the Torah would have to write is achotcha. He, lomali. Why did it write he? Mishom he is a miut, and the miut comes to teach you that when you have both restrictions, both bat eshet aviv and achot bat avicha, though only one of them are you chayav for. So what did the Rabbanan do with the word he? So nevertheless, even though it writes the word achotcha, you still need the word he. That is because had it just written the word achotcha, then we would have thought, in general, we do allow one to create isurim through logical arguments. Why does the Torah write the word achotcha hi? Milta da'achi v'kavachomer, Torah v'kotav lakra. Something that you could have learned logically, the Torah went out of its way and wrote it anyway. So we would have just said that the Torah just wrote it, even though you could have extrapolated it and learned it logically. Nevertheless, the Torah wrote it down. To come and teach you that this is a paradigm. And this is something that's teaching you that anywhere you find that you could have extrapolated logically, you cannot do that because here the Torah had that opportunity and didn't do it. So that's what that of achotcha hi, from the extra phrase or the extra wording over here, that teaches you that this sets a paradigm by which ein mazirin min hadin. Rabbi Yosi, Rabbi Yehuda, im kein lichtev rachman al achotcha hi be'idach kra. If what you are saying is true, let them write achotcha hi in the pasuk of erva achotcha bat avicha bat imecha meleret bayit meleret chutz lo tegaleh ervatan. Write achotcha hi over there. And that's the pasuk that it's referencing to teach you ein mazirin min hadin. Then you would have learned it in that pasuk. The fact that it lifted it and put it in the other pasuk means that it's coming to teach you something beyond that. I mean that not only is it coming to teach you ein mazirin min hadin, it's also teaching you something about bat eshet aviv. to tell you that Bat Eshet Aviv is only chayav for Achotcha and not for Bat Eshet Aviv. Now the Gemara says, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, hi, Bat Eshet Avicha, my Avdilei. Then what does he do with this? The fact that it's Bat Eshet Aviv has no relevance, according to Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda, because you never get punished for that. You only get punished for Ervat Achotcha, Bat Avicha. So then why is Ervat Beshet Eshet Aviv written here at all? So Mibayelei, Mishalei Yisho Ishut Avicha Ba. That comes to teach you that only someone which your father has Ishut with, and that only someone that your father has a proper marriage relationship with will be considered your sister. Prat, that comes to exclude a situation that's achoto mishifcha ve'ovedet kochavim she'en yishud abichaba. A sister that's born out of a relationship your father has with a shifcha kananit or with a non-Jew. In those scenarios, the child born from that is not miyuchas after the father, and therefore they would not be considered your sister because your father has no ishut, has no marriage relationship with them, and since they have no marriage relationship, the child that is born is not considered to be your sister. So just in summary now, for the two positions that we have until now, as far as Rabbi Yossi bi Rabbi Yehuda is concerned, the Ervat Beit Eshet Avicha, Moledet Avicha Chotchahi comes to teach you, number one, Ervat Beit Eshet Avicha, only if you have Kiddushin, the father has Kiddushin with the woman, is the child that is born there, and doesn't literally have to be Kiddushin, it can be the possibility of Kiddushin with this woman, then the child born is considered to be your sister. Achot Chahi also comes to teach you that in Mazirin Min Adin, even though we could have learned that out of Achotcha Bat Avicha or Bat Imecha, how do I know both Achotcha, that is Bat Avicha and Bat Imecha? I learned that out of Achotcha. So that teaches me in Mazirin Min Adin. Achot Chahi, and the fact that that is placed in the Pasuk of Ervat Beit Eshet Avicha, comes to tell me that when you have Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha, you're only chayav for Achotcha, you're not chayav for Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha. That's the position of Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda. According to the Chachamim believe that, first of all, Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha, Moledet Avicha, Achotcha Hi, that Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha comes to add on an additional Isur if the sister is not only shares a common father with you, but it comes out of a marriage relationship. So for the Chachamim, in a scenario where Yaakov was Me'anes Rachel and has Yosef, and then he is Me'anes Leah and has Dinah, those are considered to be sisters because they are Achotcha Bat Avicha, they share a common father. In the scenario where Yaakov is Me'anes Rachel and has Yosef, and then he marries Leah and has Dinah, then you have two violations. You have a violation of Achotcha Bat Avicha, they share a common father, but you also have a violation of Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha, the daughter born to your father's wife. So in that scenario, we'll have two Isurim, and that's why it's written over here. Why is Achotcha Hi come to teach you? It comes to teach you in Mazirin Min Adin. Because had it just written in Achotcha, I would have thought that's only true over here. But it's not a general paradigm that in Mazirin Min Adin. Along comes he to teach you that this is a paradigm that in Mazirin Min Adin, you cannot extrapolate Isurim when it comes to Isurim in the Torah. Now, as far as Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda has the same limudun as the Chachamim, but because Achotcha Hi is placed in this Pasuk, and not on the Pasuk of Achotcha Bat Avicha Bat Imecha, he learns that additional fact that it's a miut to teach you you're only chayav for Achotcha, and not for Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha, and he learns the additional item, which we mentioned before, Ervat Bat Eshet Avicha, that this only applies, the Isur of Achotcha only applies to someone the father has Ishut with. Where it says, V'eima prat achoto me'anusa. Why don't you say that comes to exclude a case of achoto me'anusa? Ishut tells you marriage, anusa is outside of the marriage. Ha'ali lo matzita marit mi derova. You can't say that because of what Rava says. The Rava Rami Ktiv says, Ervat bat bincha, o bat bitecha, lo tigale. Ha bat bina dida, u bat bata dida shari. So now, it seems from here that it's only referencing the father. This individual's granddaughter, whether through his son or his daughter, are restricted, implying that his wife's granddaughter is not restricted because it's only a restriction on him. Then, Miktiv, Ervat Yishau Bita Lo Tegale Et Bat Binav Et Bat Bita. Over there we have a clear pasuk that says the granddaughter, step-granddaughters are restricted. So, one pasuk implies that step-granddaughters are not problematic. Another pasuk implies that step-granddaughters are problematic. Ha Ketzad. How do you resolve that? Kan be'onsin, kan be'nisuin. Depends on whether it's true nisuin or onsin. In a case of nisuin, if the father marries this woman, then the step-granddaughters are problematic because he has an ishut, he has a relationship with this woman, they become his step-granddaughters. In a situation in which he has an out-of-wedlock relationship with this woman, then the step-granddaughter and the step-grandchild of that woman, who are not a product of him, are not restricted to him. His daughter and his son and his granddaughters through that out-of-wedlock relationship will be problematic because they're his children. But his step-granddaughters, because he's not married to this woman, they have no relationship to him, therefore they're not restricted to him. So we see that there is this distinction between out-of-wedlock and in-wedlock, but we see that anusa is already learnt out of rova. So you can't say prat la anusa, prat la chotome anusa, that's not true. Achotome and unusa is a sister. That's considered to be a real sister in terms of the, as long as it comes through the father. If it's a sister because they share a common father, that even if it's an anusa, that's considered to be a sister. If it's because they share a common sister because he had an out-of-wedlock relationship and this woman has a daughter already, that's not considered to be a sister because that's out-of-wedlock. So that anusa we already addressed and we know that there's a problem with anusa and anusa is considered to be a full-fledged sister. Because you see by the pasuk of granddaughters that his out-of-wedlock relationship still classifies that granddaughter as an erva, even though it's out-of-wedlock. So you see that arayot are not dependent on being married, they're simply dependent on the relationship. Yes, with regards to step-granddaughters, the marriage will matter. But with regards to blood-granddaughters, there's no issue of whether they were a product of a marriage or out-of-wedlock. So that cannot be what it's coming to exclude. Must be that it's coming to exclude something else, and whether it's coming to exclude is a sister that's born out of a relationship that there's no ishut, where ishut doesn't take hold. So then the Gemara is going to say, "V'ema prat l'chayvei lavin." Let's say it comes to exclude chayvei lavin. So Amar Papa, chayvei lavin tafsei bo kedushin. What do you mean by chayvei lavin? You can't have ishut. Of course, there's achot there because chayvei lavin, even though you're restricted from marrying the woman, if you marry her, it goes through. Dichtiv ki tiena liish tei nashim achat uva achat snua. Person has two wives, one that is beloved, one that is hated. V'chi yesh uva lifnei amakom yesh snua lifnei amakom. Wait, what do you mean uva v'snua? Why does God love one wife and not the other wife? Now the pashtut of pasuk is that the husband hates one of the wives and he loves one of the wives. So both Rashi and Tosafot say over here, well, that's so obvious. Just because he hates his wife, that means that the child should lose the bechorah. The answer is yes. That's probably what the problem is, but it's too simple, they say. It's too simple that just because he hates this wife, then the bechor would lose it. So we have to darshan it for something else. So now we say, what is it? Hashem doesn't like this woman or does like this woman? So, Ela ahuva, ahuva b'nisu'ah, snu'ah, snu'ah b'nisu'ah. Why does Hashem like or not like this situation? It's because whether the marriage is a good marriage or a bad marriage. He loves the marriage or doesn't love the marriage. It says over there, tiyena havaya, that there is a marriage here. Even though he hates the marriage is still taking effect. That's how we know the chayvei lavin are tafsei b'kudushin. And therefore, over here, that can't be what this is coming to exclude. So based on that, we say that, again, what is it coming to exclude? It's coming to exclude, and shifcha kananit and oved kochavim, that's not considered to be a sister. The Gemara is going to go through one more permutation, but it'll take us through tomorrow's daf, so we'll stop over here. 7 lines down on the top of Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph.